And verse number 4 is our text. If you think about the subject, blessed is the man. We've been going through some scriptures about this. I think there are, there's 13 of these in the Bible where the scripture mentions blessed is the man. So I think it's good for us to understand what the Bible here is talking about. As blessed, you know, I want to be blessed. I really do. I'm coming down at the end of my life, and I want to every day, I want to be what God wants me to be. It don't make any difference what anybody else thinks about it, but I want to be what God wants me to be. I want to be true to Him. That's what counts more than anything else. So, I'm looking at these scriptures about blessed be the man, and here it's the way I got the preaching now. So, in Psalms 65 and verse number 4, the Bible said, blessed is the man. This is the point. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. In verse number 5, the Bible said, by terrible things in righteousness thou wilt answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are far off upon the sea. So tonight, we're going to look at this part number 9, which is talked about in Psalm 65 and verse number 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man whom thou hast chosen. Now, as I read these words, I find it completely impossible to really realize exactly what the psalmist means when he states that blessed is the man whom God chooses. What I've done is that I tried to stop right there and think of what it would be, what my life would have been like if God had not chosen me. That's where I came to. This is a blessed thing to be chosen of God. It is the greatest thing in the world to have emphasis and to be able to see that life is more than just on this earth. That is a great, great thing. I have a hope in eternity. I have a hope that I will see my Savior one day. But think of this. What in the world did I do to deserve that? What did you do? Nothing. Nothing. I mean, no wonder the Scripture says here, blessed is a man whom thou chooses. So, this is what it is. It's God that chooses me. I chose God after He chose me. He chose me first. And then I chose God. But notice this. If I read this correctly, sometimes I think that I deserve more than I really ought to. Look what the Bible said here. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causeth to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. Now, as I've read this, I rush to the point of expecting to be able to approach the unapproachable God. Think of that. You see, let me say that again. Sometimes, when I think of this, I rush to the point of being able to approach the unapproachable God. The only reason that I can approach Him, the only reason at all, is because He has chosen me. That's where it all starts. So, what do we do? The Bible says that the point is that we should not rush to approach God before He approaches us. After I've been saved, what I have found is that it is very good for me to wait upon Him to call me. I need to do what I need to do, right? But at the same time, the only way that I can approach unto Him at all is for Him to approach me first. I mean, that's it. You see, it is not just me that's doing all this. Sometimes I become very proud. And I believe that since God has called me, that I can therefore approach Him. But that's not the way it is. I see the quizzical looks on your face, and we'll prove this to you in the Scripture, that it's best to wait on God's command. I don't deserve any of the blessings of God. Not a one of them. Not a one. When I look back on my life, I'm thankful to God that He has called me to preach. I'm thankful to God that He has allowed me to pastor for these years that I've been here. But it is God's grace. It's God that's done all that. It's not me. It is God that's done it all. I'm nothing like I ought to be. Don't ever think that I am. I'm nothing like I ought to be. In this verse, in verse number 4, we find here that there are varying degrees of getting closer and closer to God. There's varying degrees of this. And we'll explain this as we go along. But the closeness to God doesn't depend upon myself. It depends upon God. I mean, that's what I'm relying on. I must be chosen of God before I can ever do any other good thing that has to be. The choosing is up to God, not me. You see, in verse number 4, blessed is the man whom Thou chooses. It is not my works that's caused God to approach me. It's His grace, His unmerited favor that He's given unto me. Now, let's get it. There's 3 points I want to give tonight that show me how that even though I'm saved by the grace of Almighty God, I still am His servant. And I still must wait upon Him for whatever He wants me to do. I must wait upon Him. Always willing to do what He wants me to do, but always waiting on that. Look in the book of Esther, chapter 5. In the book of Esther, chapter number 5. We find here, in this place, that Israel is in some trouble. They're in some trouble because of Haman. Esther is the queen, but she is a Jew. But Haman doesn't know that. It's amazing to me how that God directs things in our life that are full of purpose, They're absolutely running over with purpose. And sometimes we want to see that purpose before we need to see it. But we need to be obedient first, and then we can see it. And here, Esther came to the place when she was facing all the difficulties that she was facing. Mordecai was there, and Mordecai said, "You have got to go before King, and you've got to talk to this man. If you don't talk to him, salvation will arise from someplace else. But God wants you to do this." Boy, she was in a great turmoil. She was in a great turmoil. The Bible says in chapter 4, verse 15, "Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. She said, 'You go and you gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast you for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night nor day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise. And so will I go in before unto the king.'" Which is not, she knew this, "which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." Alright? So on the third day, chapter 5, verse 1. On the third day, Esther got on all of her royal apparel. You know why she put that on? Because she was going to meet her husband. Listen, what I'm saying ties in with Psalm 65 and verse number 4. That even though we're saved, we still approach God. He is the master. I mean, He is the one that can answer all of our inquiries. But we need to wait on Him. And this is what Esther did. The Bible said in verse number 1, "The third day Esther got on all her royal apparel. She stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house." That's the description of what was going on there. Verse number 2. "And it was so, when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight." That is of God. That is of grace. Right there. Hazares. He gave her favor because of God's grace. The Bible said, "And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter." That's written there for a reason. We can understand their rituals that they did in that day. But in that day, if he had not held out the scepter to her and she had not touched it, then her life was gone. That's it. You see, she is waiting. She is having to approach the king in this manner. She is waiting on him. And he was the one that put out the scepter first. It wasn't her that grabbed it. It was he that got it first. Listen, when you're going to serve God, always do what God wants you to do. Always follow God. Whatever He wants you to do, always obey Him. He is the one that holds out the golden scepter to us. Because if not, we're gone. I mean, that's it. The Bible said it in verse number 3. "Then said the king unto her, 'What wilt thou, Queen Esther? And what is thy request? It shall be given to thee unto the half of the kingdom.'" Boy, that's a good thought. "I'll give you half what I've got." And she said, notice the difference. Hazares said, "I will give you half of the kingdom." Half of it. And she said, "Here's what I want." Verse number 4. "If it seemed good to the king, that the king and Haman come this day unto the banquet that I prepare for him." You see the difference there? The king said, "I'll give you half what I've got." And she said, "All I want is you and Haman to come."
good meal. That's all I want. He wouldn't turn that down. Not at all.
The king said in verse 5, caused Haman to make haste, that he may do as Esther said. So the king and Haman came to the banquet that Esther had prepared. And at the banquet then, the king is ready to find the answer, right? He's ready. But one time, Esther didn't tell him. That's in verse number 4. She didn't tell him. Ahasuerus may be the king, but Esther's ruling this one. She is ruling this one. In verse number 6, the king said to Esther at the banquet of wine, what is thy petition? It shall be granted thee. And what is thy request? Even the half of the kingdom, it shall be performed. And I would imagine that Ahasuerus was on the edge of his seat here. In verse number 7, where it says, Esther said, my petition and my request is... There's a colon there. I think there's a little space. And she said, if I have found favor in the sight of the king, and it pleases the king to grant my petition and to perform my request, let the king and Haman come to the banquet that I shall prepare for them, and I will do tomorrow as the king has said. He said, we'll be there. Don't worry about it. I'll tell you what. There was at least 3 people there. There was a service, I know. But Esther was there. Haman was there. And Ahasuerus was there. There's at least these 3. All right, this is the second request. But notice that what Ahasuerus heard was one thing. But what Haman heard was something else again. And this is the way it is. In a conversation, what one person hears is not necessarily what the other person hears. All right? Look at this. In verse number 9, that then went forth Haman forth that day joyful and with a glad heart. So he went out very happy. Boy, he is in the know now. He's got it all made. And when the king, when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, that he stood not up. Boy, that guy, that Mordecai is a terrible guy. Because he won't stand up. He won't recognize my magnificent presence. He won't do it, that rat. But Mordecai, I'm going to kill him. But Haman, he thought, yeah, I got it all made. All right? He was full of indignation against Mordecai. Therefore, Haman refrained himself. And when he came home, he sent and called up to his friends, Zeresh's wife, and told them all the glory of his riches and the multitude of his children and all the things for the king had promoted him and all that good stuff. Verse 12. Haman said, moreover, yea, Esther the king did let no man come in with the king unto the banquet that she had prepared for, but myself. And tomorrow I'm invited unto her also with the king. So tomorrow I'm going to do it again. Wow! But then he said, verse 13, yet all of this availeth me nothing. So long as I see Mordecai the Jew, I would imagine that when he said Jew, he just spit that word out. Mordecai the Jew. He didn't realize that. He didn't realize that Esther was a Jew. I see him sitting at the king's gate. Boy, that's just terrible. Verse 14. Then said Zeresh's wife and all of his friends unto him, let a gallows be made of 50 cubits high. And tomorrow speak thou unto the king that Mordecai be hanged on those gallows. Then go there and merrily with the king unto the banquet. The thing pleased Haman, and he caused the gallows to be made. 75-foot, that's a 75-foot high. Well, that's a long ways. Long ways up in the air. But don't forget our text. It's in Psalm 75 and verse number 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee that he may dwell in thy courts. And that's where we're getting at. because they were going, the Jews were going to be destroyed in the book of Esther. But on that night, chapter 6, the Bible tells us that the king couldn't sleep. Isn't that amazing? On that night, the king couldn't sleep. And that is no accident. That is no accident. I think God kept him awake. I think God was working here. God in His majesty and of His splendor kept this king awake. It's a simple thing, right? Nothing would work. So he said, I know why he put me to sleep. Read the book of the Chronicles to me. And so they brought the book of all the history, all that. And as they were reading him, he thought, yeah, if they just read to me, I'll go to sleep. I can't go to sleep otherwise. And so they read. Drake, he said, wait a minute. Somewhere, I must have missed it. I might not have heard all this. But what was done to Mordecai when he saved my life? What was done to him? In verse 3, what honor and dignity had been done for Mordecai for this? The king, sir, they looked through the chronicle, they said nothing. Nothing. And the king said, oh, wow. Let's do something for Mordecai. Who's in court? Who's in the court? This is no accident. I mean, it is no accident. Haman was in the court. You know what he come for? He come in there because he was going to tell the king about bad old Mordecai that wouldn't bow. I'll take care of him. Haman was thinking. I tell you what, you got to wait on God. Because God works in ways we never even thought about. We never even dreamed of. God can do things we never even thought of. If we just trust in Him and wait on Him, God can do things. The Bible said in verse 6, Haman came into the court and the king said to him, what do you think we ought to do as a man whom the king delights to honor? And Haman was thinking with himself, well, he's talking about me. So I know what I want. I want to ride on the king's chariot. I want to be dressed in a royal garb. I want all that. That's what I want. I would love to have seen the expression on Haman's face when the king said to him, Mordecai is one I want to honor. I would imagine his face just dropped out color. I mean, there's no color. I would imagine he was white as a sheet. Mordecai was one he come to kill. The same guy. Who? In verse 10, the king said to Haman, make haste and take the apparel and the horse, as Zadok said, and do even as Mordecai the Jew, that said at the king's gate, that nothing fail of all that thou speakest. So, that's what they did. I tell you what, there is nothing at all like just simply trusting the Lord. There's nothing at all like it. You know how the story ends, of course, that God blessed in the destruction of Haman. Read with me here in chapter 7. The Bible talks about the destruction of Haman. We'll just touch on this just a little bit so you can understand this. You see, if we approach God expecting Him to do something for us that we don't deserve at all. I mean, all of our salvation, all of our life is in God's hands. It's all in God's hands. God protects us, and God watches over us. There's no doubt about all that He does that. But notice, it was on the third time, that Esther told Ahasuerus what was going on. And Ahasuerus was very upset. He walked out of the room, I think. And when he came back in verse number 7, the king, arising from the banquet in his wrath, went into the palace garden, and Haman stood up to make request for his life to Esther the queen. For he saw that there was evil determined against him by the king. Then the king returned, and there was Haman appealing to Esther. And Haman was fallen upon the bed whereupon Esther was. Verse 8, then said the king, will he force the king also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Who is they? I don't know. It's some of the servants is there, I guess. That's all I can figure. But I know this. The Bible said here in verse number 9, and Harbona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold also, I'll just point this out to you, king, the gallows that Haman's made for Mordecai. Oh. And the king said, hang him on him. And he was hung. Be careful. You see, this is a... God blessed the nation of Israel in the story of Esther. Maybe it's been a while since you read that. Go read that again. Boy, I mean, it'll thrill your soul. It'll thrill your soul. It will. It'll be good. But look again at another place. In the book, this is another story, this second point. I don't have to hurry, I guess. The second point is, Saul, in the book of 1 Samuel 9, was chosen to be king. And there's no doubt in my mind that Saul was a saved man. But he was not right before God at all. Psalms, 1 Samuel 9 and verse number 22. We'll have to not cover a lot of things we're going to cover here, but just notice this, that Saul was anointed by Samuel to be the king over Israel. But before he did all that, Saul was chasing his daddy's donkeys and couldn't find him and that kind of thing. But finally, Samuel found him and told him, you come on with me, and the animals are all right. There's no big problem there at all. I'm taking care of that. And in verse 22, the Bible said, Samuel took Saul and his servant. Now, so there was three men here. Samuel, Saul, and the servant. And they went into the parlor and made them sit in the chiefest place among them that were bidden, which were about 30 persons. And they had a good meal and all that. And the next day then, verse 25, they came out and Samuel said in the latter part of verse 26 that Saul arose and they went out, both of them, he and Samuel, abroad. And as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, bid the servant pass on before us. And he passed on. But stand thou still for a while, that I may show thee the word of God. Chapter 10, verse number 1, was when Samuel took this vial of oil, and he kissed him and said, the Lord has anointed you to be captain over his forces, over the nation of Israel. And he did. And he was accepted for all of that. But notice that Samuel, and you know this story, I won't go into all this, but Saul served 40 years total, right? But 38 years of that was when God was not for him at all, because he had not listened to God. He had not obeyed God. That's the reason that he hadn't. And so you can also do the same thing. If you step out and do what God wants you to do, you can lose it all. Don't do that. Always be obedient to the Lord. Always listen to God. Always do what he wants you to do. You may have big things in your mind. You know, I remember I got as a pastor of a church, and he told me one time, he said, you know, I think it's time I moved on. I says, it is. He said, yep, I think it's time I moved on. So what makes you think that? He said, been here long enough. This is a small enough church. I want a bigger church. Go on. I think sometimes we can get that idea, but we need to do what God wants us to do. Always be faithful unto Almighty God. Almost one other passage, real quick. In Luke chapter 14, verse 7 through verse number 11. Luke 14, verse 7 through verse number 11. Luke 14, verse 7. The Bible said, he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief room, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, come, let give this man place, and thou begin to with shame to take the lowest room. But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room. Then, when he that bade thee come, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shall thou have worship in the sight and the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. This passage is about us continuing to be submissive to Almighty God, regardless of whether we're invited to a wedding or not. I believe that Baptist people are going to be in the bride. That's what I believe. I tell you what, the Lord can marry who he wants to. It hadn't been my approval at all. Many times, we, just like Haman, we get in our minds that a certain thing ought to be done a certain way, and it's not to be that way at all. God wants us to be faithful to Him and not to anybody else. God wants us to listen. God wants us to listen to what He has to say. Now, we won't get into that, but look back in Psalms 65. And verse number 4. And we'll cover this in the last part of this. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. And frankly, God's in charge of all this. Here's what David says, we shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even of thy holy temple. I think that we're going to be very, extremely happy when we get to heaven. I think we're going to, when we see the Lord, when we see the Lord, we don't have these physical bodies about us. I'm going to say it like this. Now, I'm taking it that in the body that we're going to have, we won't need to breathe. Okay, I'm taking it that way. But I think that when we see the Lord for the very first time, that we could just stand in awe and just look at Him. for about 1,000 years. At least 1,000 years. Just to be amazed at Him. I think that God is greater than we could ever imagine that He is. I think that He's more righteous, more splendorous. I think that His power is greater than we could ever imagine that it is. And we'll be so flabbergasted the first time we see Jesus that, oh, wow, it's going to shock us. Can I say that in the right way? I did say it. I think we're going to be amazed that the one God has loved us. And when we compare the two, wow, what a difference that is. When we compare God with us, what a difference that's going to be. And to think that this Almighty God, who is all-powerful, who created all the world by speaking it into existence, has loved us and cared for us, will be absolutely, totally amazed by it all. I know that I didn't even touch on what I meant to say, what I wanted to say, but that's all I can say about it. By the way, in verse 5, where it says, by terrible things in righteousness will He answer thee, that don't mean awful things. Terrible there doesn't mean awful things. It means that they're so grand and so glorious that they're indescribable. That's what it really means. We can't understand all about all the things that it is. It means very reverential things. Things are of God. That's what it is. Okay. Well, we'll stop right there. Next time, Lord willing, we'll study on the subject in Psalm 32, verse number 2. Blessed is the man whom the Lord will not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Well, that's going to be a great one there. So remember that in your prayers, if you would. If you're lost tonight, we pray for you that the Lord will touch your heart. I know that He touched me because people prayed for me. And they told me they prayed for me. And you need to tell people you're praying for them if you are. I believe you are. You need to tell people that you're praying for them. You need to tell them that. Pray the Lord to save them. If you're here tonight and you're lost, we pray that the Lord would just touch your heart, that you might come to know Jesus Christ. Precious to your own soul tonight. You might not walk out that door and still be lost. We pray for you that God will make it real for you tonight. Okay? Brother John, would you come please as you sing this song of invitation.